in the book of John, chapter 15. I want to ask us a question this morning. Are we producers or are we consumers? One of the main problems with our nation today is we've stopped being a producing nation and we've become a consuming nation. People used to take pride in what they could produce, what they could make. But now we take pride in what we can buy. People don't know the value of things because it's only valuable if you can buy it, not produce it. People don't know how to produce things with their hands and with their mind anymore. We try to produce money. Have you ever thought about how they, you know, we talk about this country has so much money and the stock market, how they trade commodities and trade money and stuff. Have you ever thought of where that actually exists? Who actually has hold of the money that they're trading? It really doesn't exist. Why? Because it is numbers on computers. There's nothing to back it up. Matter of fact, you know, John F. Kennedy threatened to take America away from the Federal Reserve and put it back into the gold system. The reason was because there's no foundation for it. And so today, as a country, we produce numbers on computers, but we don't produce tangible things. It's hard to find manufacturing places around, I mean, in this area. I have said for years that somebody needs to bring in some productivity here besides just gleaning money from tourists. I mean, we need something that produces good-paying jobs. And the only way to do that is to produce something. Today, what we produce is service industry, service-related industry. And then we are a shopping mall for China. So we import cheap stuff made in sweat factories in China where they make a few pennies a day, and we bring it in and sell it for 10 times what it costs to produce it, and we put it on our store shelves, and then we hire people for minimum wage or less to sell the stuff that we did not produce, but we are selling so that people can consume. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm going somewhere with this, okay? I'm not just talking about your closets this morning. We have a consumer mentality. I heard T.D. Jakes say this. They tried to corner T.D. Jakes. I really appreciate Brother Jakes because he refuses to get bogged down in the civic arguments. And they tried to corner him on racism. And you know what his answer was? He said, he didn't say anything about racism. He said, the problem is we need to become producers again instead of just consumers. And I thought that was a very wise answer. He said, our economy will be fixed when our people are able to produce something that they can be proud of, that they produced. Something proud that they made. And we as Christians have got to ask ourselves, as a child of God, am I a producer or am I just a consumer? We have a consumer mentality in the body of Christ today. We're shoppers. We shop for the next thing. We shop for the next word. We shop for the next inspiration. We shop for the next message that's going to make us tingle, or the next worship service that's going to make us feel good, you know. And this feel good thing is just got all out of proportion. You know, God never said that your worship is supposed to make you feel good. It does, but it is a sacrifice of praise. It's something that we produce. Why do we have a consumer mentality that I want to come to church and I want to consume what is produced by a few. I don't want to consume what somebody up here produces. I want to join in and produce something myself. Amen. Matter of fact, it would thrill me to no end if the worship team had to just keep saying the same song because the congregation wouldn't stop. Then we would stop complaining about the worship team singing the same verse five times because it would be our fault. Come on, somebody. See, to change from a producer, a consumer mentality to a producer mentality is going to depend on what we want out of life. Do you want to just buy stuff? Is your value on what you can buy, or is your value on what you can produce? We'll let you think about that a minute. It's come to the point, look at abortion. Abortion is now the result of people that want to consume without producing. You understand what I'm talking about? They want to satisfy their lust without producing anything. Our children are the greatest product that we can produce, and yet today, children are on a lower level, it seems like. They're just problems. To a lot of people, they're just problems. We've come to the place where we idolize things so much. It's just like women breastfeeding. It's become to a point that any woman that breastfeeds her child is shamed. What kind of ignorant place did that come from? It's life-giving. A woman has the ability, when that baby's lips touch that mother's breast, it actually sends signals to that woman's body, and she produces the type of milk that that baby actually needs to fight disease. And yet it's shameful today. Why? Because women have become sexual objects to be lusted after, not producers. Women are producers. You are born to be a producer. You just let a woman have hold of anything, and they're going to produce something out of it. You know, before the Civil War actually took off, men began to gather because of the Civil War. They began to gather in camps. And did you know thousands of men died at gathering in those camps because of dysentery and cholera and just the terrible situation? They were dying before the battle ever started. Why? Because mama wasn't there. I'm going to get to my text in just a minute. Come on, somebody. Talk with me. And it wasn't until women found out that their husbands was dying before the battle ever started that it stopped, because women got together and went to the camps, cleaned up the mess, and stopped the death. Some of you women saying, yeah, that's all we get done. But women naturally have a producer mentality. Some of you have a pretty good consumer mentality too, but I'm not sure that I'm brave enough to get on that today. To check your consumer, whether you're a consumer or not, go check your shoes in your closet. You'll find out. Come on, somebody. I knew one young lady that had $10,000 in debt on a credit card because of shoes. That's called a consumer mentality. Amen. Us guys don't do that. We buy pickup trucks. and guns. You know, stuff that's useful. Come on. Somebody needs to help me out here. I need some help up in here. Just because it costs $20,000 doesn't mean anything. It's useful. Woo! I feel the anointing on that. Come on. Come on, somebody. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now, there are so many things that I want to preach on about this. Number one, I've been asking the Holy Spirit, would you please define fruit for me? We have concept, but we don't have application. And I want to go beyond the concept, and I want to get the application. What does it mean to actually bear fruit? And so we're going to be investigating that. But I want you to look at what Jesus is saying here. He's talking about being the vine. He is the support system. He is the feeding system. He supports the branches, but he also provides the nectar to the branches. We get to produce the fruit. We're the branches that the fruit grows on. We get to produce the fruit. But he is a support system, and he is the one that supplies nectar to us so that we can produce fruit. Without that, we can't do anything. But he's talking about producing. He said, any branch in me that does not produce is taken away. So God doesn't want a church that are consumers. God wants a church that are producers, to where we can produce something. You know, Doug sent me something on Facebook the other day. Where he finds this stuff, I have no idea. But he sent me something on Facebook that was talking about a church that they were so upset. The glory of God was interrupted on Sunday morning because one of the fog machines stopped functioning, and it had such an impact on the worship service that people left the service very upset. This is not a comedy. This is not a made-up story. This is a true story. And they had a meeting immediately, and they ordered all new. They had four fog machines that developed an atmosphere for their worship. And so they immediately ordered four brand new fog machines so that the glory of God would not be interrupted again. See, I told you there would be shocking and confusing things. See, what they were doing, they were attending church to consume an experience. Church isn't about consuming an experience. It's about producing. Sure, we're fed, but it's about producing. If we're not producing, then we're not contributing to the kingdom of God. We have to produce. And if a fog machine failing somehow diminishes the glory of God, then I have this little suspicion that the glory of God wasn't there. You know, I got to tell you something. I say that all the time, don't I? Pam reminded me of that here all back. Thank you. Every time I say it now, I think about it. I got to tell you something. I'm going to change that. I don't know what I'm going to change it to, but I've experienced the glory of God to the point that it was so heavy that you couldn't miss it. If everything quit working, I would not have noticed. If everybody quit singing, I would not have noticed. See, we don't understand what the glory of God is. Why? Because we are searching for an experience that will feed us. But the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the true vine and you abide in me. You should never have a day where you need to be fed. Why? Because you're hooked up to the feeding machine 24/7. Well, it's going over heavy. Going over heavy. We're going to make it. Believe me, we're going to make it through this. I've had people come to me and say, you know, I'm just not happy with the church I'm going to, and it's usually this one, because I'm just not getting fed. And I look at them cross-eyed because I don't understand that statement. Nobody feeds me when I go to church. Why? Why do we say things like that? What is actually being said is, you're not preaching the type of food that I like right now. Obviously, look at all these empty pews. You can obviously say, well, we're not, the buffet doesn't exactly have the good stuff on it right now or something. Just people say, I'm not being fed. What are they saying? They're not talking about being fed. They're talking about being stimulated. You should not go to a church just because the preacher preaches what you like to hear. You should go to church because you want to worship God collectively and you want to be a producer of fruit. Because if that preacher isn't preaching things that challenge you and make you dig in the Word of God, he's not doing his job. We've got the McDonald's and the Wendy's Christians. I like McDonald's. I like Wendy's. I don't like either one. What we're saying is I'm not receiving what I need to stimulate me in what I want right now. Why? Because a consumer mentality has taken over us. Amen. You know where I get my food? I get my food in God's presence. I get my food from talking to Him all the time. Did you know He likes to talk? Yeah, He likes to talk to you. And then every once in a while, He likes to just be quiet and make you find Him. Make you search for Him, you know? But He's always there. Betty has this thing. When we walk in the house, to make sure that it's not somebody that isn't supposed to be in the house, as soon as she hears a door open, or it's downstairs or anywhere, she'll go. And if there's not a whistle back, she starts getting a little concerned. And we know that we are supposed to whistle back when we walk in the house. That sounds weird, but it's saying, the person that has come in the house belongs here. Well, when I go into God's presence, when I talk to God, all I have to do is say, Father, in Jesus' name. It's like whistling, and He whistles back. Hey, here I am. And I belong in the house. I know I belong in the house. I'm welcome here. 24/7. It don't matter if you're just going through your job working. I work. And a lot of people say, well, preachers have the time to do that. I actually have a lot to do. So I have had to learn to worship, pray, seek, and receive from God no matter what I'm doing. It's amazing. He can talk to you about stuff and feed you. And next thing you know, man, you are energized because God just dropped something in your spirit and you're ready to rumble. And there wasn't nobody around. Sometimes it's good nobody's around. You act a little weird. You know? Woo! Yeah, I got that. To be a producer, to change the mindset of the church, is not going to be an easy thing. Because we've got to change from the desire of consuming. Consuming is addictive. Amen. Consuming is addictive. Needing, wanting things. The Bible talk about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those are the things that drive us. And so to go from being a consumer to a producer is to change what we feed on. If we feed on producing, if that's what feeds us, then we will find satisfaction in the producing of something instead of just satisfaction in the consume. Have you ever noticed that when you get something on your mind and you just got to have it and you keep going until you finally get it and you're finally able to buy it? Have you ever noticed that it doesn't take long to not want it anymore? Why? Because it wasn't about the thing, it was about the desire. And so the desire simply just moves to something else. And so we go after something else. Desire continues to pull at us, but if we have a desire to produce, then we're not just consuming something, we're actually producing something out of our own lives. Praise God. I was going to preach on something totally different this morning. I do that all the time, don't I? I'm always saying that. The Holy Spirit wants us to talk about this. The pruning process. Do you know what the pruning process is? Jesus said that they that produce fruit, He prunes. In other words, He cuts back. But you got to understand, Jesus isn't talking about cutting back the producing limbs. He cuts the ends off of producing limbs so that they aren't putting all their effort into show. The limbs that they trim, the limbs that they prune, are called water spouts. And these limbs grow straight up. And when they grow straight up, they do not produce fruit ever. No matter how long they're on the vine, no fruit ever grows on these limbs that go straight up. And so they prune those limbs off so that the energy and effort is not feeding anything that does not produce the product. And then the limbs that do produce, they cut them back so that the fruit is more abundant on the limb and its energy isn't going into getting longer, stretching out. It's about producing fruit. And then other limbs that they cut off are anything that crosses over other limbs and blocks sunlight. These water spouts, get back to those, what they call water spouts. That's just what they call them. I didn't make that up. I read it. They call them water spouts. And when they grow straight up and and produce leaves, they block the sunlight from the fruit to where it can't produce, it can't grow. And so they have to cut these water spouts or these non-producing limbs off of the branch so that the sunlight can get through and the photosynthesis, where they can get the strength from the sun and produce fruit. If they don't do that, then the producing part of the vine actually begins to die. What God wants to do in our lives is start cutting off the water spouts. He wants to start pruning back what the things that are taking our time and energy but doesn't produce anything. If you feel like you work 40 hours a week and have nothing to show for it, what is it? You're more of a consumer than a producer. But if you produce something, I'm trying to navigate this because you can take this a lot of different ways. When you use energy in your life and produce something, then there's a fulfillment. There's something there. There's something that has been made by your energy and your effort. It's one thing to go buy something. It's a totally different thing to make that item. How many of you remember years ago? Today, now it's fighting over stuff people bought. But years ago, you know, Grandma and Grandpa's house had things in it that had sentimental value when they died because Grandma or Grandpa made that. Now, it's what was bought. Okay? They bought that. But they didn't make that. Everybody's really getting bogged down here. I can see it. I can see it in our minds. So as Christians, if we're not producing fruit, it's because we have too many water spouts in our life that is sucking all of the energy out of us so that the fruit can't grow. And it's blocking the sunlight. We're not getting the illumination from God. We're not getting the revelation from God. We're not getting the food that we're supposed to get so that we can produce fruit. Because there's too many things in our life that has taken all of the energy out of us. First time I got to go to the discipleship class last Thursday night, and I sit there, and I couldn't help but just sit there and grin because she was on my message. Everything she was teaching, I thought, okay, they're going to think I'm copying her. Sunday morning, they're going to think that Sister, I went there and just got. And because she was teaching on the very same things about time and what we use our time for and the things that pull the life out of us. And since I began to study this and then went to Sister Carla's class, I went home Thursday night just thinking, oh man, how do I do this? You know? How do I separate all this? How do I understand? And there are obligations that you can't just quit. You know? I mean, that doesn't look good on a child of God either if you just all of a sudden just say, well, God told me not to do that anymore, so I'm just going to leave you high and dry there. Trust God. But there are things in our lives that pull at us. And we don't see anything come from it. We don't see any fruit. Like I said, we're going to investigate what fruit actually is. But of course, we know the fruits of the Spirit. That's one. But we've got to understand and we've got to have practical application. I wrote down on a piece of paper in my office on my desk a statement the other day that said, I understand the concept, I need to understand the application. Because just we won't be able to produce the fruit in our lives that is necessary until we know what that actually is. You know? How many have good ideas? You have a lot of good ideas? I'm loaded with them. My brain never quits. I wish it would. No, I don't. It actually did that one time. I don't want that to happen ever again. Yeah, I decided to take that statement back because my brain did quit one time. But and it took me several years to get that creative ability back. After that time, I had no creative thoughts. I had no creative ability. I had no function of creativity for several years. And then it started coming back. And I enjoy that creativity, you know, to build things in your mind. How many build things in your mind? You build things in your mind? Yeah. Mostly men. We have a few women that do that. But I build things in my mind all the time. But I was thinking this week, I have so many things going in my mind. It's like a computer. You know, windows in a computer? I have so many windows open all the time, working on stuff. I was thinking this week, I thought, okay, thank God for the creativity, but I'm going to have to slow this down somehow. Because I get up in the morning, and once I get started, I actually shake sometimes because I got so much going on in my head and wanting to get so much done that I can't get it done, and yet I got all this stuff, and I want to do this, and I want to create this, and I want to build this, and I want to do that. And I find myself sometimes actually just shaking because I want to get this done. And the problem is, every time I have a thought, it was supposed to be done yesterday. That don't work because I'm still working on the thoughts I had yesterday. See, we have a lot of stuff going on. We have good ideas, but we got to sort all that out and decide what is fruit producing. And if it's not fruit producing in our lives, then we need to omit it, even if it's a good idea. Because good ideas destroy best ideas. And if it's not producing fruit, you know, you can have a lot of ideas of how to make money, but if you're not passionate about that idea, you're not going to follow through on it. Only the things that you're passionate about do you follow through with. Because good ideas will fall away. So as God's children, we got to ask ourselves today, how many water spouts are in my life draining me of energy, draining me of the ability to be productive? How many water spouts are in my life today that I can let God prune from my life? You know, it says that He prunes them away, but you know, I found most of the time that He wants our permission to do that. I mean, He won't just come and just start chopping at your life. Sometimes He'll do that when you're being destructive out of His mercy. But most of the time, He wants your permission to take away the things that are consuming your energy, your effort, and your time that aren't producing anything in your life. You know, I've often said a lot could be done except for two things, time and money. But then we have to back up and realize that we don't need to be doing a lot. We need to be doing what produces something in our life. Amen. When I take the time to build something for my grandkids, I find a lot of joy out of that, whether they like it or not. They usually do, but I find a lot of joy in that. You know, there's a fulfillment there. I made when Aria was born, I made a bed for her that actually attached to Benai and Natalie's bed and had rails on it. And it was actually attached to the bed so that the baby was there with them but not right in the bed with them. That way, when she needed to feed the baby at night, she didn't have to get up. All she had to do is roll over and pick the baby up. And I made it to where the baby couldn't roll into bed with him, you know, and stuff. Just had this idea in my mind, and I made that. After I made it and we put it in the house, you know, it was very useful. Great idea. It worked really good. But one day Israel was at my house, and just out of the blue, he said, "Papa, you never made me a bed." Well, you think that went over real good? I mean, the little rascal, I know what he's doing. He's so smart. I know he's playing me. But he did a good job of it because I immediately started building him a bed. And I even put it on rollers so they could roll it around. And I made it to where they could actually put it on the other side of their bed. If he wanted to sleep next to him, where it would actually be on the other side of Ari's bed. You know, made all that. Little rascal didn't even sleep in it. Wouldn't sleep in it. But it was the fact that I made something for his little sister, and I hadn't put out that effort for him. That's all that mattered. I'd ask him, I'd say, "Israel, you been sleeping in that bed?" No. They live with their other pop and grandma up in Springfield. And he'd say, "No," he said, "Papa Sam needs me to sleep with him." And then I found out why Papa Sam needed to sleep, because Papa Sam has a tendency to get up in the night and go eat something. And he liked getting up with Papa Sam and going in there eating something in the middle of the night, and it usually had something to do with sugar. So my little bed just didn't win out over that. I mean, you know. But producing something. We need to feel like we're producing something. One of the reasons that people have gotten disenchanted with going to church is they don't feel like it produces anything in their life. Why? Because if you have a consumer mentality, there's never going to be a product that you see that is tangible. But if you come in this house and you have a producing mentality, then I got to tell you something. Every worship song is going to be dynamic. My sermons are suddenly going to just be out of this world. Why? Because it's not something you're trying to get, but it's something you're trying to produce. You come in here to produce an atmosphere. You come in here to produce a presence. You come in here to produce healings and miracles. You come in here to produce salvations. See, you're not here just to watch, but you're here to make sure that the fruit of God is born in this place. And when you have that attitude, you can't wait. You can't wait to get here with the body of Christ. You can't wait to go to work tomorrow. Carla said she can't wait to go to the grocery store because she wants to know what God's going to tell her and who she's going to run into. And I thought, "Oh God, you're going to have to help me with that one." That's going to be a miracle for me to get excited about going to the grocery store. I like to go in, shoot it, bag it, and hang it. I mean, get this thing done. Throw it in the cart. You know, doing football passes as the cart's going down the aisle and we're out the door. For me to get excited and think, "Wonder who I'm going to meet today. Wonder who I'm going to get to talk to today. Woo, I'm going to Walmart. Wonder who I'm going to talk to." Y'all are like me. You head in there and you keep your head down. Why? Because you don't want to see who's in Walmart. You want to get what you got to get and get out of Walmart. Confession's good for the soul. If you see me in Walmart with my head down and my eyes focused straight ahead, if you want to talk to me, throw something at me, because I'm just going to keep on going. I'm on a mission. If Sister Betty didn't buy me clothes, I'd still be wearing stuff I had 20 years ago. No, I wouldn't. They wouldn't fit. But to actually get up in the morning with an anticipation that instead of just going and enduring your job, that you're actually going to produce something. That your life is actually going to produce something today. That join it, and I know I'm belaboring the point and I'm circling the airport, but I want us to grab hold of this. I'm coming in for a landing. I want us to grab hold of this concept. Amen. I've been looking at this all week. I've been studying on this all week. No matter what was going on, I was thinking about and studying about fruit bearing and being productive. And when that alarm went off, I started waking up long before the alarm went off this morning. And I thought, well, I might as well just go ahead and get up. But I decided to just stay there. So I just dozed for a while. And the alarm finally went off. When it went off, I went, "Woo! It's Sunday morning. It's finally here." Why? Because something had been growing in me that I wanted to produce. I wanted to give. I wanted to make something happen. Stand with me today, if you would. If you don't stand up, I'm going to keep preaching. Woo! You stood up fast. Yeah, you missed it. That buzz just now come on. When we understand, and Lord willing, we're going to talk more about this, and I'm wanting God. We all have the concept of bearing fruit. I know all of us have the concept. We're thinking, well, just, you know, bearing fruit. But have you ever stopped to think specifically, what does that mean in my life? Not generality, but specifically, what does it mean for me to be productive? What does it mean for me to bear fruit? You know, I studied pages on grafting. And I just, you know, I kept trying to think there's something here. I never found it. After all that reading, all that, you know, I still feel like there's something specific there, because the Bible says that we're grafted in to the vine. Well, I know for a fact that when you graft something in, the DNA of what's grafted in and the DNA of what is grafted into mixes and produces a little different fruit. Matter of fact, you can take a lemon branch off a lemon tree. Now, this is strange. You can take an orange tree, cut it off, and graft lemon branches into it, and that tree will produce lemons from then on. That's weird. So I got to think about it. I thought, you know, when God grafts us in, is everybody just general in fruit? Or does God take the specific things He's put in our life and graft us into His power and cause us to produce a unique fruit that nobody else can produce? So we need to ask God today, Lord, what is it in my life that's draining me of the ability to produce? What are the water spouts in my life? And number two, exactly what kind of fruit are you talking about? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day.